Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher, or head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcasts, and please share those on social media. We have a big show tonight. We'll be joined by congressional candidate out of Baltimore, Kimberly Klasick, but let's take a look at what is going on in Baltimore. High crime, just like all Democrat cities, crime has been surging in Baltimore. To go along with that high crime, you have rampant drug use. They've been hit hard by the opiate pandemic. In addition to that, they have high taxes and extremely high poverty. Former Rep. Elijah Cummings even admitted this in 1999, calling his own district drug infested. When President Trump brought this to everyone's attention, the mainstream media and people tried acting like it was racist. That's why I was really excited when Kimberly Klasick jumped on the scene. We all remember her great campaign ad that went viral, walking through the streets of Baltimore and holding the corrupt Democrat politicians who have plagued the city for so long accountable. It was a breath of fresh air. What did you think, Rob, and how are you doing tonight?
I am doing great, Andrew. I want to thank all of our listeners who are tuned in tonight to After Dark with Rob and Andrew. And you're right, we have a firehouse on with us tonight, Kim Klasick. She is the founder of Red Renaissance. Some of you will probably remember that we had the manager of Red Renaissance with us, Marcus Trent, not too long ago. And he was giving us the background on Red Renaissance, the PAC. You know, I'm glad for Kim. There are a lot of people out there that are envious, jealous of the success that has come with her. They just don't like her. And you know what I say? Screw them. I mean, she has stepped outside of the box. She has identified the problem. And the problem is we have a lot of rhino conservatives that have a platform that enjoys going after other conservatives that are trying to move or shift the red wave in a different direction. I mean, I'm now hearing that there are some Republicans that are attacking her because she kicked her butt and worked and raised nearly $18 million. And now they want some of that money in their coffers. And what are they going to do with the Pratell? Oh, they'll say, oh, we're going to win in this district and do absolutely nothing. Andrew, we talk about this all the time on After Dark, about Republicans attacking other Republicans. Republicans with a linear view, not looking anywhere else, but looking at the same old thing, doing the same thing, and not getting any results. You look at Baltimore. When she decided to run, she wasn't getting any traction. Republicans had given up on Baltimore. Oh, it's Elijah Cummings' district. Oh, let him stay there. Elijah Cummings hadn't done diddly squat. Not diddly squat. She comes out with a kick-ass video saying, this is Baltimore. It has been plagued with crime. And yes, maybe it's rat infested with drugs. When you look at Baltimore for the past 50 years under Democrat rule, and still they want another Democrat? Now, she went up against this guy, Kwame Cuse, or whatever his name is. Now, he had been in Congress before. And hats off, I know that a lot of people like him. But what the heck has he done for Baltimore? Why is Baltimore still hemorrhaging? Why is there still crime in Baltimore? Why is Baltimore a Democrat city with a Republican governor who, in my opinion, and I could be wrong, Kim will correct me, but I'm entitled to my opinion, I think he's a rhino. I don't think he's done diddly squat. And what will happen come election day? Black people will walk lockstep and vote for the same Democrats over and over again. Kim should have won that race. Had Republicans got behind her? Well, it's a Democrat place, so we won't win. Who cares? Look at what Democrats do. They go into red states and they siphon off votes. Look at what they're doing in Texas. Look at Virginia. It's now purple. Look at Arizona. And we're still sitting there looking at one little area that's red and trying to suck blood, as they say, out of a turnip. We have got to expand the base. We have got to look at other candidates and bring them in. Now, I know a lot of you are probably thinking right now, oh my God, he's ranting again. Look, I'm always on fire because I am concerned for the country. I am concerned that if we don't straighten up and if we don't start embracing other candidates and supporting them, the Democrats will win, or should I say the socialists will win. So I'm glad Kim decided to come on. I'm glad that she created Red Renaissance because we need candidates like her, fresh new blood out there. And as I said, I know that there are a lot of naysayers out there. I'm not going to even mention their names because they're not worth it. If you have a platform and you can't come together and support these fellow candidates, up-and-coming candidates that are out there, then why do you have a platform other than the fact that you're just a loud mouth and you want to talk? Come on, let's get real here. If we want to take back our country and if we want to win, we have got to start supporting candidates and platforms like Kim. Kim, I know I say it a lot, but how are you tonight?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. Great opening. I'm doing good. So far, so good.
Kim, tell us, why did you decide to create Red Renaissance? But you're there on the ground. You have your finger on the pulse as to what's happening. You know the political games that are played. So share with our viewers why you decided to create this pack to, and then to go out there and get like a stable of great candidates and say, hey, these are the candidates that we're going to run.
Yeah, so it was interesting because Red Renaissance was really Marcus's idea. He said, you know what? I have this name. I think it's going to really work well because this is what we're doing. We're basically taking candidates that the GOP overlooks time and time again, especially in communities where they think they're so deeply blue that we shouldn't even try to chip away at them at all. And I said, you know what, Marcus, you're right. We gotta try and we gotta figure this out and we gotta support these candidates. We know what it's like to not have the support of the GOP. I tell people all the time, like, if you think about it, we had a viral campaign ad, you know, thanks to God, a viral campaign ad. And then we had the support of President Trump and his entire family. And then we spoke at the RNC convention, right? We raised $8.4 million. And they still refuse to help us. It's even just coming down the very, you know, end of the stretch there. And it was so hard to even imagine, you know, how could they do this? Like you mentioned, Democrats, they don't look at districts as unwinnable. They look at it as, you know what, we're going to win this one day. And I don't understand why we don't have that same mindset. It really bothers me. But, you know, typically in the Baltimore City area of my district, a Republican only gets 3,500 votes. We got 14,000 votes. We flipped a bunch of Democrats and independents, and we are supporting candidates, a lot of minorities that are running in their own communities that want to do the same. You know, there's a lot of people that are sick and tired of being exploited. I say they, you know, a lot of members of Congress, they leverage the urban struggles in some of these areas like Baltimore. They request federal funding, and then that funding never hits the ground. You know, it's just so much corruption. There's a lot of people that are sick and tired of it. And so, you know, we're going to do whatever it takes to support any candidate across this country, because I think that's what we should be doing. We should be helping each other. The Democrats do a great job at it. And, you know, I have to be honest, as Republicans, we don't do it.
You're right. We don't do it. And I think I misspoke a while ago. I said 18 million. It was 8 million. I'm glad you corrected me. But, you know, just looking at it as a whole, looking at Baltimore and how Republicans refuse to go into those districts that are blue, whereas Democrats, they don't care. They're looking at the votes. They will go in like stormtroopers. They will get on the ground and they will have a complete network. And then they start going. I was impressed with you when you came out. No traction at all. They weren't looking at you. But when you came out with that kick-ass promo, I don't know where it came from. I'm like, whoa, here she is with her baseball bat and she means business. And then that's when the GOP started looking. And I think it was Laura Ingraham who said, are they looking at her? She should be talking at the convention. We need her there. We don't need the old heads. We have to have a new person out there that reflects the party. Out with the old, in with the new. There are too many old heads that are still, as I said, trying to get blood from a turnip, as opposed to saying, wait, we have young candidates that are there. Let's run them. Let's get behind them. Ronna McDaniel, what are you doing? Why aren't you thinking? For the past 50 years, I was looking, Kim, the mayors of Baltimore, Democrat. And what I found interesting is that some of them left office in disgrace because they themselves were part of some type of crime cartel, so to speak. I remember Catherine Pugh, who attacked President Trump nonstop. And then what was the other lady's name? Stephanie Rawlings Blake. How can we forget her? And the whole Freddie Gray issue with the attorney Mosby and them saying, oh, give them room to tear down the city. I mean, the whole Freddie Gray thing was a complete fiasco, a complete disaster. But yet and still, Democrats, Black Democrats, minorities will vote for these people over and over again. Kim, how do we get to them and let them know doing the same thing over and over again is not going to get you new results? It's going to get you the exact same thing. And these Black politicians, Democrat politicians, aren't looking for out for their best interest. How do we change that mindset?
Well, thank you so much. I mean, you really are nailing it here with the history of Baltimore City. I mean, you know, that's what we're trying to do on the ground every single day is try to change minds. And so for us, the winning message has really been about school choice. There are a lot of parents that are just so sick and tired of the education system in Baltimore. Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, right now, believe it or not, 41% of our Baltimore City high school students have a 1.0 GPA or lower. I mean, I consider that child abuse, you know, definitely neglect. And we have the third highest per pupil spending in the country. So believe it or not, $18,000 a year goes to each one of our kids. And that is federal funding. And so to me, I look at it like, wow, we're getting the most deplorable results. Yet we have administrators like our public school CEO getting $375,000 a year. And our kids are graduating, not able to read, write, or do basic math. So a lot of it has to do with school choice. Like I said, a lot of parents are loving that message. But we're also talking about bringing back career opportunities. You know, Baltimore used to be a manufacturing powerhouse. We are no longer that because lots of Democrats sent our jobs, especially manufacturing jobs overseas. And then they didn't replenish it, right? They didn't bring in any new opportunity. And that was like one of the big points on my platform was, look, we saw during the pandemic, we had to rely on other countries for PPE. Why not just bring that billion-dollar medical equipment industry right back through the Baltimore City port? You know, let's get manufacturing back. Let's, you know, revitalize some of these cities. We have 13,000 vacant homes just sitting there. Before, you know, Rawlings Blake, we had Mayor Sheila Dixon, who also left in disgrace.
Oh, yeah, I remember her.
stole a bunch of gift cards from the youth, you know, and she had to leave. But before that, we did have a mayor, Donald Schaefer. He was a Democrat, but he was very moderate. He probably would be considered a conservative today. But he did this program, this dollar home program, letting people to buy and purchase homes for a dollar. They had to revitalize them themselves. But that is what boosted Black home ownership in Baltimore City. And we can do that today with these 13,000 vacant homes. And also veterans, you know, veterans get those VA vouchers where they can also purchase homes. So we have to really focus on growing in our cities. And I think if Republicans continue to push that message, because that's what we're about, I think we can really do more in these inner cities.
Now, going back to school choice, that's huge. I find it interesting how Democrats fight against school choice. And when you have the Democrats at the top, like Barack Obama and the Clintons, sending their kids to private schools, but they want your kids to go to failed public schools. It's like, what the heck is wrong with this? And you have Black families that will continue to support these individuals right now in public schools. We're going to shut down the schools because of COVID-19. We're going to shut it all down. You guys learn from home. The only good thing that came out of that, in my opinion, Kim, was that a lot of parents, their eyes were opened up to what our kids were being taught. They weren't being taught the curriculum, the ABCs, 1, 2, 3s, arithmetic, and science. They were being taught about socialism and social learning and CRT and men could have babies. And I know I bring that up all the time, and some of you are probably tired of me saying it. I don't care. The Democrats want to pivot from it. I'm going to keep it at the forefront because it's wrong, 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 wrong. I find it extremely disturbing when a kid can go outside and recognize the pride flag, but don't even recognize the American flag. Why are we here? The greatest country in the world. You have immigrants trying to come here. They're not trying to come here to look at the pride flag. They're not trying to come here because we're saying that we're the racist country and they want to try out some of the racism. They're coming here for opportunity. They're coming here so they can take advantage of our educational system, an educational system that's being denied Black and brown people in the inner cities. But yet and still, we will go out and vote for them, and they're not doing anything for us. And then we want to scream and yell and say, oh my God, what if things are going to change? It's 2021. I know who your grandparents and your great-grandparents and your uncles and aunts voted for, but it's time for change. And we need for conservatives to get out in those communities and stop being afraid and start saying, hey, tell us what's up. How can we help? That's one of the things that attracted me to the Republican Party, because their whole mantra was, here's the opportunity, take advantage of it. As opposed to the Democrats saying, here's the opportunity, but I'm going to keep my hand in your pocket because I want you to do something for me. Here's the opportunity, but you shut up and you do it the way I want you to do it. It has to change. And what your PAC, Red Renaissance, and the candidates that you have there, that you guys are looking at to put out there for voters to look at, I would think the Republican Party would say, wow, this is impressive. Let's look at these candidates. Let's run these candidates. And even if they felt that the candidates weren't going to win, it's like groom the candidates, keep them going. I'm looking at your mayor, Brandon Scott. Don't know much about him. I know that he's young. I know that he's promised to tackle the whole COVID issue as well as crime. Do you have any faith in Brandon Scott, or is it too early? In my opinion, he's a Democrat. I have no faith in him whatsoever. But again, I'm not on the ground. So what can you tell us about Brandon Scott, the new mayor?
Yeah, so Mayor Brandon Scott is a progressive, and he'll talk about that he is a progressive. So, you know, he ran on defunding the police, which he actually did basically the first day in office.
Oh, God.
Now, the interesting part about that is he had to refund the police just this past June because of the fallout. We had a lot of officers retire early. We were down 500 officers on patrol. And he realized that less officers means more crime and violence on the streets. And so now he's finally mentioning that our prosecutor, Marilyn Mosby, needs to do more to put violent criminals, especially repeat violent offenders, behind bars.
Wait, but, Kim, yes. Marilyn is still there? I thought you guys got rid of her.
No, they voted for her a second time.
Oh my
gosh. It's unbelievable to me. It is. It's unbelievable. And so we have repeat violent offenders on our streets. Unfortunately, we have an uptick right now in a lot of young women also being shot and killed in our city. And this is going to be the highest as far as the murder rate ever in the history of Baltimore. And just know we are already 10 times the national average.
I thought you guys kicked her out after she failed with the whole Freddie Gray deal. And you're telling me that she's still there. And then Andrew, Brandon Scott, did you hear what she said? She said that he defunded only to have to refund. These are Democrats. What the heck? Oh my gosh, this is crazy. And this is the reason why we can't get to the next stage of the game. And then we want to say, oh, the white man is holding me back. No, it's not the white man. It's the Black man, because you guys keep voting for these people. And you know what, Andrew? I'm going to say it. And I say it all the time. If they were to take their knee off the neck of Black people, off the neck of Black men. I'm proud of the Black men who voted for President Trump. I'm proud of those alpha brothers. There were some white men that voted for him also. But we're looking at this and people see that it is time to make a change. Andrew, we talk about it all the time. I know that I'm always ranting about it. And I know you tease me about ranting about it. But if we don't put it out there, no one else will talk about it. And the Republican Party will allow these people to keep running over and over again. You know, Kim, maybe you should run for mayor. I mean, we need your knowledge base out there. I know that Red Renaissance, you're doing your thing with it, but you have a voice. That voice needs to be out there, and it is out there. So I would encourage all of the Republicans that are there, will you please stop what you're doing, refocus, and start looking at these candidates that are trying to make a difference. Go to Red Renaissance. Look at the people that are there. I mean, Andrew, what do you say? Am I, you know, looking at this the wrong way?
No, you're absolutely right. And you and I also talk about all the time how we've lost all confidence in the GOP. I was really glad when President Trump called out Baltimore. And then, of course, he got a lot of grief and people accused him of being racist and all of this. And then Kimberly came out with her huge campaign ad. And then what was that like, your relationship with President Trump, Kimberly? I know that I think you spoke at the Republican National Convention.
Yeah, so I'm, you know, we're very fortunate that President Trump had our back the entire time. Just so you guys know, I don't know if you know the backstory here, but there was a fight for me not to speak at the RNC convention from Rona McDaniel. And so she said, because I had a viral ad, that did not mean that I should be speaking at the convention. And I was not a handpicked, basically, candidate.
Wait. So, Rona, I'm sorry. Rona
yep.
was fighting against you?
Correct. It was Rona that was fighting against
me. Oh, my gosh. You see, and look at the candidates that she's constantly running. Mm-hmm. We need to get her from the top. Go ahead, Kim. This is unbelievable.
Yep. And so that's what I was going to say, Rob. I would love to see a new chairwoman, you know, on the national level. She's ridiculous. And so they were fighting back and forth. We literally found out within, I guess, maybe 18 hours of when we had to record our speech, but we found out that President Trump actually called in from Air Force One because she had already canceled me. He called in from Air Force One and said, I said Kim was speaking. And that is because I guess Charlie Kirk, you know, it was Charlie Kirk, Turning Point, Benny Johnson, they're the ones that came up with my campaign ad. It was because Charlie Kirk and his guys called Trump and told him that Rona had canceled me. And so that's when Trump made the call. And so the RNC was pissed that I was even speaking there. And I think there were a lot of other people that were pissed that I had that spot just because, you know, I wasn't a handpicked candidate. I was in a D plus 30 district and, you know, people were not pleased with it, I guess. And so we're able to speak. President Trump has always had our back. We saw President Trump not too long ago in New Jersey up at Bedminster and his golf resort. And he said, Kim, you know, whatever you do, I will be there for you 100%. You never swayed from me. I will never sway from you. Just keep going strong and don't listen to the haters.
Well, you know what I say to the ones that didn't want you to speak? Screw them. Screw all of them. Because it is those Republicans that are rhinos that can't think outside of the box, can't get outside of the box and put candidates like you out there. We need new thinkers. We can't keep running. That you guys get a load of this and hear me clear. Mitch McConnell's, the Mitch McConnell's of the world, who will cave in every time because he wants the Democrats to like him. And we can't keep people like, and I'm going to get this right this time, Andrew, Kevin McCarthy. That's who it is, right, Andrew? I got the name right this time. I didn't say Paul McCarthy.
Yeah, Kevin McCarthy.
Kevin McCarthy. Some of you probably like them. I don't. Because I don't see what they're doing. They're doing absolutely nothing. When we have fresh blood on the scene, we need to jump behind them and we need to support them. I mean, here you are coming out there, swinging your bat saying, hey, it's time to tear this down. What did Elijah Cummings, God rest his soul, do for Baltimore? You just can't be a name. You just can't be a figure and think people should say, oh, holy are thou. Oh, we just love you. I mean, you have your time and place in history, but then it's time to move off stage. When you look at Baltimore, there is no reason why conservatives should not be competitive. And then you have someone like yourself, Kim, who's willing to jump in the race. I have nothing to lose. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to put my name out there. And then when you came out with that kick-ass video, that advertisement, I thought, wow, here we go. And you know what was interesting, Kim? Is that once you did it, there were a lot of other people that saw it and said, hey, maybe we could do the same thing. Let's try the same thing. Because this is resonating. This is getting people's attention. Why the Black community didn't wake up and say, hey, let's get her in, as opposed to, I think it was Elijah Cummings' daughter or his wife decided that they wanted to run for the seat. And then there was bickering there. And then finally, Kwuzye Mumfe, and I'm probably mispronouncing his name, he decided to run. And he's an old head, an old Democrat. He's quiet right now. But we have got to start being more competitive and looking at people like yourself and saying, we need to run her. This is a different voice. She will appeal to a younger audience. And unlike the Democrats, we're not into identity politics. But if the person is good and is willing to go the distance and has a message of education, manufacturing, that is huge. Because Baltimore, as you said, Kim, used to be a manufacturing city. Another candidate who came on, Joe Collins, who said the same thing about Seattle. And what happened? Those jobs left. And what the Democrats say, oh, don't worry about it. We'll bring more jobs in. Where are the jobs? There are no jobs. The only solution that the Democrats have is socialism. Let's just give the people money. Look at the economy now. Inflation. And who's calling it out? We have to keep it at the forefront. Now, we're almost at the bottom of the hour. And before we let you go, Kim, I want to ask you, what are your thoughts on this whole vaccination and wanting people to stay inside and forcing people to take the vaccine? What are your thoughts on that?
So I am not for vaccine mandates at all. I have not been vaccinated myself. I had COVID very early on. I actually am involved with a radio show. And because it's run by Hearst, I have to be tested weekly. And now they're forcing all of their employees to get vaccinated by November 9th. And so, of course, I've been talking to my boss and I'm like, look, you know, my tests always come back negative. As far as I know that, you know, I have the antibodies, my immune system is doing well. Those at our office, believe it or not, in the studio that are transmitting it have been vaccinated. And because they don't know that because they don't have any symptoms, right, they've been transmitting it to others. So I don't see, you know, how it's protecting people. If they feel that some people are not being hospitalized because they have the vaccine, that's great. I, you know, suggest those that have underlying conditions, if that's what you feel like you need to do, go ahead and do it. But I don't think it should be forced on anyone. I run 4 miles 3 times a week. You know, I take my vitamins. I try to eat as well as I can. And I don't feel like I have to be vaccinated. I've never had the flu vaccine because I just never felt that I had to have the flu vaccine. Now, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. You know, I have a 5-year-old daughter and she's had all her shots and I had my shots growing up as well. But I don't see the point of the COVID vaccine right now for me. And so, you know, to hear that Southwest Airlines, I believe it or not, I was actually, my flight was canceled in North Carolina this weekend. And Southwest Airlines said there are air traffic controllers and some of their staff basically protesting the vaccine mandate. And I said, you know what? Now I'm a little less annoyed that I was delayed. If it's because people are finally standing up to this.
And that's what we need. We need for people to stand up. I myself did take the vaccine both. And now they're talking about a booster. I'm like, why didn't we just wait until to make certain that the first vaccines were good before we started introducing a booster? As soon as they came out with the vaccine, we started hearing little grumblings about, oh, we might need a booster. We may need a booster. In my opinion, I think this is part of Big Pharma's attempt to get more money. That's just me. And like you, we're not against vaccines, but we need to know the facts. And why is it that people that have been vaccinated completely are now all at once, they're now the spreaders and they're calling it's a breakthrough. What do you mean by breakthrough? I've been vaccinated twice. So how am I breaking through? I would think a breakthrough would mean that I didn't get the vaccine. So that's the breakthrough. But the breakthrough cases, Andrew, is, oh, well, he had the vaccine, both vaccines, and now he caught it. So we need to now look at that and study that. It makes absolutely no sense. Again, speak with your healthcare provider, speak with your doctor. But this whole mandate, Kim, I agree with you. People should not, it should not be forced upon us. And Joe Biden, the resident of the White House, even said that he would not force it. But my, how things change. Andrew, people better get ready. Because if we don't make a change and start standing up, it's not going to be pretty. And it will not end well at all.
Yeah, this Southwest Airlines strike, no matter how you spin it, is just another black eye for Joe Biden and his administration. I do not think things will end well. And it's, I think hopefully we see a lot more of this to come. Thank you so much to our guest, Kimberly Klasik, for joining us. Go to the website redrenaissance.com and support those candidates. Make a donation and all the money goes directly to the candidates and not to GOP. And you guys are tuned in to After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more After Dark with Rob and Andrew.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
It was a vision that gave birth to a unique multimedia platform that would combine classic talk radio, great writers, and memorable podcasts and videos. AmericaOutLoud.com is a conservative leader in a field that is predominantly run by far-left progressive globalists. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
And we're back after Dr. Robin Andrew. And if you're just now tuning in, you've missed a very powerful first half of the show because we had on the show one of the founders of Red Renaissance, Kim Klasik from Baltimore. And Kim was telling us why she decided to run when she did run for the late Senator Elijah Cummings' seat in Baltimore. She was also telling us why she and Marcus Trent founded Red Renaissance to run or support up-and-coming candidates. Because as we see right now, unfortunately, the GOP, which seems to be stuck in a rut, running old traditional candidates. Andrew, this is dangerous. I don't know what it's going to take to get them to realize that these old traditional candidates, and let's just be honest, old white men, they're in their 60s. We got to get beyond that. We have got to pivot. Now, I'm not into identity politics, but we need fresh blood. And no, we don't need to go and get a young white candidate who's still holding on to those old traditional ideas. And some of you might say, well, what traditional ideas are you talking about? They're not seeing the need to branch out and get other individuals in the party, go to different districts, not willing to go in and to fight it out in those blue districts, camp out in the blue districts, get to know the people in those districts. Because I'm telling you, there are a lot of minorities that are sick and tired of the same old thing that Democrats are putting out there. I mean, I was speaking with Kim, and I mentioned how Baltimore, has been under the leadership of the Democrats, Democrat mayors. Let me just go through the list. Sheila Dixon, 2007. She got out in 2010. She was a Democrat. And when she left the office, she left in disgrace because she was taking cards, debit cards or credit cards or some type of cards that were intended for poor people, and she was using them herself. Now, this was an educated woman. What did she not understand? That your name is not on this card. This is not for your use. You make a salary or you earn a salary. That's what you use to take care of your personal needs. No, she decided to run a scam and she was indicted. After that, we had Stephanie Rawlins Blake. A lot of you are probably familiar with her and the Freddie Gray situation that took place, I think, in 2015 or 2011, whereby Freddie Gray, a Black man, was arrested by 6 police officers. They put him in the back of a paddy wagon. Now, they don't call it a paddy wagon, but it was in back of a police unit jail. While he was there, when they got ready to remove him, apparently he had a broken spleen. They accused the police officers. They said that they went in and beat the holy crap out of him. They did an autopsy. And of course, it's going to come back a homicide. So everyone, oh, the police, they beat up the Black man. So for about a month or so, there was complete chaos in Baltimore. Black people burning down their own communities, tearing it down. And at the time, believe it or not, Don Lemon came out and said that this has to stop. Well, that was before he became all woke and everything. You had even Black ministers coming out saying, we need to stop tearing down our community. But the woke left, they were bussing in people from around the state to come in and tear down the city. And what was Stephanie Rawlins Blake's response? Oh, give them room to tear things down. Give them room to let out their emotions. Give them room. Like what? To tear down their own city? And then you have the lovely city attorney, what was her name? Marilyn Mosby, who came out and gave a press conference and said, we will get justice. We will find these police officers, 6 police officers, guilty. Now, she didn't say that. I'm paraphrasing. But in essence, that's what she was saying, that we're going to find them guilty. No, she said, we're going to give you what you want. We're going to give you the verdict that you want. Well, lo and behold, they decided to let a judge hear the case as opposed to a trial jury. The judge looked at it, looked at the facts, Andrew, and came back and said, not guilty. That Freddie Gray, in essence, when put in that van, decided to go crazy. I start to say ape crazy. And a lot of people would say, oh, what is he saying? Well, I'm Black. Okay. So I'm going to say that. He went batshit crazy, mad because he was arrested, and started jumping up and down in the paddy wagon and caused the injury himself. That could have easily been determined had Miss Mosby done her job properly. But she was too quick to jump on the woke bandwagon and say, we're going to give you the verdict that you want. Stephanie Rawlins Blake, the mayor, and the prosecutor or the attorney, Miss Mosby, decided that they were going to find these individuals guilty, which was not the case. It was not to be so. And thank God it was not to be so, because that would have been a miscarriage of justice. Now, needless to say, the 6 officers filed a lawsuit against Marilyn Mosby. And rightfully so. Moving on from Stephanie Rawlins Blake, and these are all Black people and Black women at that, because there's a push that Black women, they can do it because Black men and white men can't do it. Well, look at the success rate here. 0. Let's move on to Catherine Pugh. Oh, as President Trump would say, she's a real beauty. She hated President Trump. She would go on Laura Ingraham's and just go backwards and forward and attack Trump about this and attack Trump about that, only to find out that she was writing a book and was getting kickbacks. Andrew, you can't make this stuff up. What was her fate? Well, she's now spending some time in jail. And rightfully so. Rightfully so, she's in jail. Okay, after her, you had Jack Young. He didn't last long at all. Apparently, he was only there for a little short of a year, but he just stepped in to fill in Catherine Pugh's position when she went to jail. After that, we had Brandon Scott, recently came in, inaugurated December 2020, a young chap who's claiming, as Kim said, that he's going to turn around the city, get rid of the crime, get COVID under control. So far, he hasn't done diddly squat. Now, some would say, oh, but give him a chance. He's new. He's just in. But that's the problem. We're giving these people chances simply because of the color of their skin, simply because of their gender. In the cases of the three female mayors that all went down in smoke, this has got to stop. Now, before them, before Sheila Dixon, we had Martin O'Malley, who ran for the president when Hillary Clinton was running against Donald Trump. A lot of people thought he was going to best her and that he was going to get it. Thank God that he did it. I think he was kind of a progressive or moderate, but needless to say, he didn't get it. We said we missed that bullet. But I say this to point out the makeup of the political landscape in Baltimore. For the past 50 years, they've only had Democrats. And as Kim said before that, they did have a individual, Schaefer, I think back in 1987, who was, you know, kind of okay. He resigned following his election as governor. He was a Democrat, but he came up with the idea of allowing people to buy property for a dollar and fix it up. Well, that's a novel idea, and it worked for a while. But again, Andrew, as long as you have Democrats at the top, these cities can't prosper because of their policies. I mean, and as Kim told us, this Brandon chap, he came in saying, defund the police, Black Lives Matter. He defunded the police only to refund the police because of the crime. And where was the crime? In Black neighborhoods. Now, some of you out there that don't ascribe to conservative beliefs or the way of life would probably hear me saying this and call me an Uncle Tom because I'm talking about the problems in Black communities. And you want me to attach those problems to white people and say, well, it's because of white people. Okay, let's just break it down. Before we had the Black mayors that I mentioned, there were white mayors. They were liberal mayors, buying into this whole concept that they have to save the Black race with these liberal laws, liberal policies. You look at Minnesota, look at the mayor there. The mayor, when George Floyd was killed, what did he do for the city? Absolutely nothing. What is he doing now? Absolutely nothing. Look at New York City, de Blasio. He's white. He's a liberal. What is he doing for the city? Absolutely nothing but bringing in more crime. So yes, you do have the white liberals that are part of the problem. But you would think that Black people would see this and say, it's time for a change. We can't go with identity politics. We have to go with the best candidate. And right now, the Democrats have not been the best candidate. Look at Maxine Waters. What has she done for South Central LA besides live in another district? Absolutely nothing. It is time to wake up. You look around you and you look at Blacks that have gotten into these key positions, the ones who are Democrats. Look at Chicago. Lori Lightfoot, what has she done? Look at the prosecutor there, Kim Fox. What has she done besides not charge gangbangers? And it keeps going on and on and on. So it's not only just Black politicians that are bad for these cities, but it's also white politicians. So my question, Andrew, is why do we keep voting them in? Not me. I'm not voting them in now.
Well, some people might say it's voter fraud, but we see these big cities like Portland, New York, Chicago, and now Baltimore. They keep electing people who are self-identified progressives, which is a very dirty word if you ask me these days. The results have been an absolute disaster with crime and violence spiking, defund the police has proven to be a dangerous ideology. And like you mentioned, we've seen what happened in Minnesota, Minneapolis, Mayor Jacob Frey. They even tried to defund the police for a short period of time, and that was inundated with homeless and violence, and they had to quickly bring the police officers back. It does not work. And why these people keep voting the same way time and time again makes absolutely no sense. Just the Democrats continue to promise freebies and people continue to believe them. But then you look at what's happening now and Joe Biden and Joe Biden's America, and things have gotten even worse. So I have to ask, when will people wake up?
Well, they don't wake up. And I'm glad you mentioned the Minnesota's mayor's name, Jacob Frey, because it escaped me at the moment. He was the mayor during George Floyd. He was also the mayor, Deontay Wright, I think it was, a black man that, in my opinion, you know, he gambled and he got shot. It was unfortunate, but hey, such is the case. But again, you look at these situations and you have before you Democrats at the helm, Democrat policies. They're making these policies. And when someone says, well, what do you mean by the Democrat policies? Okay, well, let's just break this down again. Who's pushing to defund the police? Democrats. Who has defunded the police? Democrats. And where have they defunded the police? In black neighborhoods. So what happens? Crime goes up. We're telling criminals, in essence, do whatever you want to do. We're not going to do anything to you or against you. So when that happens, they feel, I can go out, commit the crime because I'll be out. They'll lock me up at 9 a.m. and I'll be out by lunchtime so I can go out and do the same thing. I mean, I was reading the other day, Andrew, that on Rikers Island, de Blasio, and his all infamous knowing everything, decided to let out some of the prisoners at Rikers Island, a holding cell or the jail cell for prisoners. And you know what happened? They let them out and then they re-arrested them for committing another crime. You can't make this stuff up. And as I have always said, black people can obey the law just like white people. And in New York City, they decided to get rid of no jail bonds, you know, so we'll let them out because the system is impartial to them and they can't raise the money. Yeah, but when you start doing that, and when you look at who are the people that are constantly committing the crimes, now, some people will run to the statistics, to the FBI, and say, well, when I look at this, it shows that more crime is committed by white people than black people. Okay, that's right. More white people commit crimes than black people. But proportionately, that's what you need to look at. Proportionately, within the black community, you have more black people committing crimes. And it has to stop. Some will say, well, they commit crime out of necessity because they don't have. I mean, you look at the stores whereby you have prosecutors in California, some in New York, that are refusing to prosecute if a person goes in and steals from a store if the amount is under, I think, $900. Now, let's just look at the logic here, because they claim it's out of necessity. Why would you go to a high-end store and steal Gucci, Prada, Calvin Klein, and all the other high-end clothing and accessories? What do you possibly need with that? What do you possibly need with a 75-inch TV? How is that going to help you? It isn't. You're just stealing to steal, plain and simple. And as Dr. Debbie said on the show once, we've got to look at this. And if these people are serial offenders, we can't start saying, oh, well, they have a mental problem. Well, they have a mental problem, all right, of understanding right and wrong. And some of them don't care. Because when you lower the bar, Andrew, and you say, oh, you can do this, we're not going to arrest you. Of course, people are going to walk into Walmart and say, I want this, that, and the other thing, and I'm walking out the door. And if they felt that it was a necessity, why would they hide their face? Why hide your face? Just walk in and do it. And these are the laws that we're putting on the books within black communities. And then you have people coming in at the border and they're going to bus them to the black communities and then they'll do the same thing. My issue is that this has got to stop. If we want an even playing field, we've got to look at what's happening and say, wait a minute, the laws and the policies that we're creating, that we're trying to say it will level the playing field. It is not leveling the playing field. The only thing it's doing is giving more ground for criminal activity. And in essence, you're saying almost that Black people are too stupid and dumb. They can't obey the law. They have to commit a crime. I will not buy into that. I will not believe it. So when I look at a place like Baltimore, and as Kim said, there is no reason the crime should be at that level. And because it is at that level, and when you look at who's in charge, who do you blame? Democrats, because they can very easily change the laws. Why would you run and blame a conservative? They're not even there. They haven't even done anything. Now, if you want to blame them for not coming into the district and soliciting votes, if you want to blame them for not doing anything, okay, that's fair, because they're not in the district, so they're not reaching out as they should. But as far as the policies and the laws, no, lay it at the feet of the Democrats, because Andrew, they are the ones that have created this monster, this disaster, and they keep feeding this vicious animal who's not obeying the laws. And it has to stop. It has to.
Yeah, that's been really well said, Rob, and I completely agree. What is it going to take for people to change their minds? Obviously, conservatives have to get out in these communities and fight for people's votes. And people like Kimberly Klasick, who can go into these neighborhoods in Baltimore and they can see someone that looks like them, it does help a great deal. So as we said, we don't like identity politics, but sometimes they can be necessary. These people aren't going to listen to just your normal, average, old white guy. So what we need is just great America First candidates, regardless of their color or race. We recommend supporting anybody who's an America First candidate. Something I wanted to talk about that Kimberly talked about at the end of the first half was this Southwest Airlines situation with all of these canceled flights. Over 1,500 flights had to be canceled over the weekend from Southwest Airlines. Apparently, employees are pushing back at the mandatory vaccinations. And we see mainstream media, who is not giving this story the attention that I feel like it deserves. My only theory for the reason is because they do not want this happening all over the country. They don't want more people finding out about this and saying, hey, we should do this at our job, and it just becoming bigger and bigger from there. I'm very happy of these Southwest Airlines employees. Obviously, people should take it out on the airline, but not these employees who are standing with their rights. Rob, what have been your thoughts on the Southwest Airlines boycott?
Well, see, I was shocked and to learn about it. I wasn't familiar with them until you called it to my attention. We were having a our briefing before we went on air. Again, people should not be required to take the vaccine. Making it mandatory, I've been vaccinated, okay? And that was my decision. You haven't, Andrew, and that's your choice, your decision. What I don't understand is that if I have been vaccinated with both vaccines, and now you want to come out and say, okay, well, by the way, you need a booster with that. A booster? Why do I need a booster? Why didn't you wait until you got it right the first time? If you knew that this vaccine was only going to last me 3 months, why didn't you just wait and say, okay, folks, this is what we're doing. We're going to give you the first dose. But as far as the second dose, we're going to wait and make certain that when we do give it to you, you won't have to get another. But as soon as people started getting the second one, they started saying, oh, there's a possibility that you're going to need a booster. They knew all along that people were going to have to get a booster. They knew about it, Andrew. You cannot convince me otherwise. Because why is it that once they got like that percentage that they wanted of people taking the second shot, that they start pushing the booster? And Biden said, I would not make it mandatory. But now you want corporations to make it mandatory? You want to shut down a person's way of life? You want to excommunicate them from participating? And then this whole notion that is Trump supporters, you got to stop it. And this is another thing that I don't like about Republicans. Okay, you don't have to like Donald Trump, but you need to start pushing back, because when they attack him, they're attacking you also. And when they say that it's Trump supporters that are not taking it, I'm like, no. a majority of the people that are refusing to take the vaccine are minorities, Black and brown people, and also people with PhDs. Go figure. I don't know what their thought process is, what their philosophy is, should I say. But those are the people that don't want to take it. And Andrew, as I've said before, I understand why some Black people don't want to take it, because what happened years ago? Giving them, Black men, that is, syphilis, saying that we're trying to test something out. And even people in the Army don't want to take it because they feel as if though they're being used as guinea pigs. But to say it's Trump supporters, conservatives should be out there saying, no, it's not Trump supporters. I've had the vaccine. We're not the ones. But Democrats want to run with that. It's as if though they feel comfortable and they feel good, liberals. And the people that keep saying it are the folks on TV, the media. We can't trust them. We have got to start pushing back because although they don't want to admit it, they are in fact enemies of the people. They are. Because of the fake narratives, Andrew, that they keep pushing out there all the time. When you really look at history and you look at all the challenges the country has gone through, A lot of it we could lay at the feet of the media, them not wanting to comply. When they say, well, you didn't have a Black person here, you didn't have a Black person there. Well, why didn't you guys call it out? Why didn't you say, why don't we have more Black people on TV? Why don't we have more Black people in movies? Now, it's about supply and demand. It's about, will people identify with the people that are there, and will they pay money to buy a product? But the media could have very easily pushed it out there. But they didn't. Now they want to do it. Now they want to jump in front of it. Now they want to say, oh, well, we're pushing Black and brown people. And conservatives, like clockwork, won't call them out, won't say, no, you're the enemies of the people. It is the same thing with the vaccine. Conservatives have got to push back and say, nope, we're getting the vaccine. But we, at the same time, we feel that it should be up to the individual as to whether or not they want to get the vaccine. And it should not be mandatory or mandated. And we shouldn't say you can't go here or go there unless you have the vaccine. But conservatives are too quick to pivot. You got to focus and you got to call it out. And call Joe Biden a liar. Call the Democrats a liar. Don't play nice with them, because they will not play nice with you. Andrew, we've got to do better.
Yeah, you're right. And why are these people who are so into this vaccine more angry at people who will not get vaccinated than China, who released the virus onto the world?
There you go.
They make no sense. Democrat politicians and their supporters crave control, and we all know that's what this is all about. And why did CNN get rid of the death count on the bottom of the screen since Joe Biden has been in office throughout President Trump's presidency? More people have died from COVID in 2021 than 2020. Could you imagine if Trump were still president, what the media would be saying? Completely different narrative under this Joe Biden administration. I want to tell you guys about a great patriotic company. Head on over to HealthyCell.com. HealthyCell is based on the simple idea that nutrients need to be absorbed into the bloodstream and then into cells where they work to improve health. Comes in a great tasting gel form instead of a pill. So if you don't like pills, Healthy Cell is perfect for you. And the best part is you can save 20% off with the code OUTLOUD. So head on over to HealthyCell.com and save 20% off with the code OUTLOUD. Thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutLoud.com, who just celebrated its fifth anniversary. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Remember, stand for something, fall for nothing.